This is Victoria of the UnleashedHeart.com, and you're listening to Grieving Voices, a podcast for hurting hearts who desire to be heard, or anyone who wants to learn how to better support loved ones experiencing loss. As a 30-plus year griever and advanced grief recovery method specialist, I know how badly the conversation around grief needs to change. Through this podcast, I aim to educate grievers and non-grievers alike, spread hope, and inspire compassion toward those hurting. Lastly, by providing my heart with ears and this platform, grievers have the opportunity to share their wisdom and stories of loss and resiliency. How about we talk about grief like we talk about the weather? Let's get started. This episode is sponsored by Do Grief Differently, my 12-week in-person or online program that helps grievers who have suffered any type of loss to feel better. In Do Grief Differently, you learn new tools, education, and a method you can utilize the rest of your life. In this program, and with my guidance, you remove the pain of grief. The sadness will always be there because even in complicated relationships, we love. But it's the pain of grief that keeps us stuck. Are you ready to do grief differently? Check out my website, www.theunleashedheart.com, to learn more. Thank you for tuning in to Grieving Voices. I'm so excited for this episode because I'm talking with Amy Douglas. She is a human design reader, and I've been working with her as her client. But today's episode is about her sharing her grief journey and what she's learned through human design about herself and her grief. And I'm just really excited to bring this knowledge to the podcast because, like, one of my favorite quotes is, the more you know yourself, the less you look to others to tell you who you are. And so human design is just another tool in the toolbox to help you to better understand yourself. And so, Amy, thank you so much for being here and sharing about your journey today. And thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm excited for our conversation. Grief is not something that we all love to, you know, touch on, but reflecting on it and empowering ourselves to move through it is such a critical part of our own evolution. And definitely human design. I feel like in my journey with human design, if I were to say, you know, that I have felt grief by learning my design, it was the grief of not allowing myself to be what I chose for myself for so many years, you know, and the grief of thinking or feeling that those ways that I chose for myself and my design were wrong, because they're not. It's just sad, you know. We're so full of not enoughness, and design has empowered me to release a lot of that not enoughness, offer some deep compassionate understanding for myself and others. I love your quote. It's so true. I see so many people looking to others for the answers, the right ways to do things, and they're all within us. We just really get to take the time to sit with ourselves to uncover that.
People might not be familiar with human design. So can you just briefly cover what that is? And also too, like, we are both manifestors in human design, which is only like 9% of the population and often the most misunderstood. So imagine the grief that has caused us in our lives alone.
It's so true. And being female manifestors, right? Like, there's so many layers to it. So human design is, you know, another one of those archetypal ways to help us discern, you know, kind of who we are. But there are a lot of different modalities that were brought in together, but I want you to just, if you hear nothing else, it's basically the blueprint or the owner's manual, operator's manual that you chose for yourself to tell you how you are meant to be existing in this 3D experience. And who knew we had an owner's manual that told us so many ways, like how we're meant to make decisions and how we process fear and how we're meant to digest food and life. Down to so many things that it really just offers you the opportunity to say, oh, this is what I chose for myself. Very much to your point, instead of looking to others to help point us in a quote unquote right direction.
And I imagine, like me, who's just now starting to get down the human design rabbit hole again after, you know, I dabbled in it maybe a year ago and just coming back to it now, But for human design, how did you navigate life without this manual? And what was your life experience before coming into human design?
So, you know, I think I'm probably not different than many. You know, we use our eyes and ears to show us what is the path that we're meant to take. And so whether that is witnessing it from loved ones, having someone tell you how to be and how to show up. I had a lot of that in my household. I'm the youngest of three girls. There was a lot of act like this, be like this, don't say that, don't do that, don't be too much, did it, like not necessarily the Barbie monologue, but you know, you can probably put some, you know, words to that as well. And so I was trying to run at a pace in my life that I had witnessed was the way. Like there was a lot of pride and applause for being really busy, doing a lot of things and, you know, not like being quote unquote lazy. That was a really, that L word was really, you know, kind of ingrained into our household. We were not going to tolerate laziness. Well, can we redefine what lazy is? You know, because like, I mean, we all have the opportunity to sit and be with who we are. I think a big pivotal change for me that led to a lot of grief in my life in 2014. I had a lot of loss in my family. I lost my dad in April. He was only 67 and had been battling a lot of heart stuff for 9 years. So, you know, we kind of said he had nine lives. And the last one was the taker. And then shortly after that, my mom came very ill. A lot of it was grief. Let's be honest. You know, they've been together their whole life. She ended up spending the entire summer in the hospital, almost lost her a couple times. She had severe ulcerative colitis and thankfully, you know, she's got it at bay, but it was really challenging to negotiate and navigate her being in the hospital after losing dad, and her grieving in the hospital in a hospital bed was traumatic. And then no sooner did we get her home and my brother-in-law dropped dead in the shower. I mean, my mom and my sister within 4 months becoming widows together, it just was unsurmountable. And yet I was kind of the rock in the family. Like, we're all going to be fine. I'll help take care of everything. And that's kind of what I did. I never really let myself feel anything. And honestly, to be real, just completely transparent, I kind of like shut off my heart after my divorce about 5 years before that. I kind of just said, all right, my husband of 17 years, been together 20, father of both of my children, left with my best friend. I don't know where to process that, so I won't. I'm just going to put on the happy face and exist, run at the pace that I know will have me running away from any of those feelings. And then fast forward, losing, you know, so many family members and just a lot of grief with that. And then in 2015, my dog who'd got me through my divorce and was only 4 years old was diagnosed with lymphoma. And I'm like, oh, hell no. You know, that's the one person that witnessed everything, not person, one thing that had witnessed everything. And so then, you know, whenever I lost him toward the end of 15, I was like, what the hell am I doing? And 16 just really started a deep journey of just my own self-discovery. Just a lot of letting go of ways of thinking that I had to be, really giving myself the opportunity to be very curious what I was feeling in my life. Started my journey. I hired a coach. I'm from the Midwest. We didn't know what those words were, but you know, my good friend Google said, that's what you need, sunshine, if you're going to pull out of this. And so I hired a coach out of the West Coast, and I was still a very much a trust but verify kind of person. So it felt only right for me to get the education myself. Didn't tell a soul, did everything under the radar. I wasn't allowed to moonlight in my corporate life that I was still running a ridiculous pace at. And I empowered myself through lots and lots of deconditioning, lots of letting go, which is, you know, the practice that you use in the coaching modalities and just the healing spaces of the world. In 2019, the beginning of 2019, I quit my corporate life. And that's the year that design brought itself into my experience. And I was like, okay, I know now that I'm ready for you. But I had to do for myself a lot of the layers of letting go and, you know, getting curious versus and dropping judgment and letting myself feel things again for the first time. I hadn't done that. I'd really shut that part of me off. And design came when it was meant to. And I think it does for many. I resisted it first. I was like, oh my God, just another thing to tell me, you know, whatever. But it wasn't a questionnaire. I wasn't answering questions. You know, I know how to manipulate those to get the letters I want or the data that I want. This is very specific information about your birth details, so you can't really fake those. And it just led to just a really beautiful way of me embodying and trusting myself and believing in myself and allowing me to be unapologetically me, which is what I said I was going to do when I left my corporate life. And I think human design was the open permission slip to do that for me.
Was there a certain moment? Do you remember where you were, what you were doing? Like this, was there like this aha moment, or was there a certain thing or thought or experience? You know, because sometimes we have these pivotal moments, right? That just change the trajectory of our life. Like, because I know so many people who might be in the corporate hamster wheel who are scared to leave that behind, who desire to venture onto something that is a more authentic expression of who they are. What do you say to those people? How did you do that?
In July of 2018, when I was still going through, I was in a mastermind with a bunch of coaches and we were all supporting each other and just, you know, I never thought I was going to leave my corporate life. Like that wasn't even in my radar. I was a single mom raising my children on my own, right? And I had one daughter that was in a private college that was ridiculously expensive. You know, the labeling of it was irresponsible, right? If I did that, you know, it was safe and secure for me to stay where I was, even though I was really, it was becoming very clear that I was miserable. You know, our body's our greatest messenger. And from about 2016, and I'm sure this was very, very grief related, I started having all these warning signs. My hair was falling out. I had extreme insomnia. I thought for sure that I was going to have a heart attack in my sleep and my children were going to find me dead in the morning. Just all these terrible fears. Western medicine, you know, was like, your picture of health. I am an avid exerciser. I eat really healthy. I meditate. All the things. And yet, what was I dismissing? What was I not paying attention to? So I think for me to answer your question, in July of 2018, I wrote a contract. I was at a conference with a bunch of my peer coaches, and I wrote a contract with myself of what it was going to take for me to actually leave my corporate life. Like I'd been, you know, ruminating on that all of 2018. Like, could I do this? Is this really what I want? Could I be free? Like freedom has been my word since my divorce, and peace, which is the signature of a manifestor. Okay. Has been something that I have been, for lack of a better word, Victoria, chasing. It's like, okay, what does that feel like? When am I going to know when I have it? What's available to me when I do? And so I wrote this contract out, you know, very logically, very corporate intense, you know, it's like, these things must be true in order for me to leave. And, you know, my peer coaches just gave me a little, aw, you know, a little tap. I had them sign it as my witnesses, you know, it was like, okay, I'm making this contract. These things must come true. And one by one over the course of the next 6 months, they were all limiting beliefs. And I just let all of them go one by one. Those were things I did not have to know, that did not have to be true, because they were limitations. You know, what are limiting beliefs? They're beliefs that limit you from the thing that you want to be having, being, or doing. And so by December, it was just like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. Actually, I was on vacation in November and I said to another couple, well, I'm leaving my corporate life in January. That's the first time I'd said it out loud. And then I was like, oh, and very manifestor-like, right? Say it out loud and then it becomes your reality. And then by the time I did it on January 2nd, it was a transaction. It was like, it was already done. And so I think the aha was actually that contract, witnessing my peers going, wow, she's still really holding herself back without saying those words, right? Just being intuitive enough to witness their, you know, deliver or their receipt of whatever I was trying to create for myself. And then doing the work to show myself I didn't have to have all of these things in place. Because again, I was craving that safety and security, which is not allowing yourself to really take the leap for what you want in your life. And I finally did.
I don't want to gloss over all of the losses that you described before. But I also want to talk about this, the idea of fear. So can we go back in time though to that divorce? And do you think that that was a catalyst for you to start coming into your own, really?
Oh my heavens. Yes. I used to make a joke like it, and it's very like, I hear it in bitterness now, but it's like, I take a vote and I always win. What I need to do for this and who gets to do that. And I used to say, they're like, how do you do it? How do you do everything on your own? I'm like, well, I figured out that once he left, the only thing he really did that I wasn't already capable of doing was put the Christmas tree in the Christmas tree stand and open the pickle jar. So I stopped buying pickles. That was easy. And every time I bought a Christmas tree each year, I did that. I brought the Christmas tree stand to the Christmas tree farm and had them install it because I can, you know. So it's just, do you see, like, it was just like, did I have the avoidant attachment style I have now? I understand that I have that. And so it's like, I didn't need them anyway, type of energy. But it did really empower me to be like, okay, I'll get to look at what I, in those days, I was still saying what I need to do, what I should be doing, what I have to do. I don't use any of those words anymore. Need, should, and have to are full of resistance. It's what I get to do. And it took me a couple of years to get there, right? Because I was still really proving my open heart, proving to myself that I could do this. I didn't need him. I'm good. You know, losing my best friend along with it was hard. That grief is real. It still stings, you know, and, you know, just people who are your most trusted people in your life gone in a flash, and that image of what your life was. And it was real. It was really beautiful life. And I remember sitting in the car with my kiddos. We were getting ready to go into a movie the same year of the divorce. And it just was somber, you know, because we used to go to the movies as a foursome. It was one of our favorite things to do. And I just presenced it. I turned the car off. And before we went into the theater, I said, you know, I'm aware there's only three of us in here. And yet I'm so grateful that there's the three of us in here. So how can we make this the best that it can possibly be? And I think that was a real catalyst for all three of us to just be like, okay, you know, we can grieve the loss, and we still do. And yet we can create something different. And that helped us crawl out of a lot, I think, because we just presenced it. We were honest about what we were feeling. We kind of did this thing of whatever we said in the car, stay in the car. So if you're mad about things, or, you know, just, it's okay. It's safe in the car, safe in the car. And then it'll stay in the car when we get out. We don't have to take it with us. You know, we just tried to create some spaces that felt like we're not going to be judged for how we're feeling. Right.
I love that. I love that idea. How old were your children at the time?
Oh, so they would have been 10 and 12. Whew. Yeah. 9 and 11, 10 and 12. Those were some really, really hard. And 11, 13. Because yeah, those were some really hard years. Yeah. I think, honestly, Victoria, my son just turned 23. He has had a major health journey this year. Oh my goodness. And I think we are both, he's also an emotional manifester like us. And I think he is allowing himself to grieve the loss of his childhood, you know? And I'm so proud of him doing it now and not waiting and carrying it all these years. He's like, maybe I should have waited a couple of years, like till I got out of college. And I'm like, no. It happens when we're meant to. Let's not resist it, you know?
And the best friend. I mean, I imagine too, like in the relationship, you had an extended, like in your friendship with her, but in your marriage with your husband, you had not just those relationships, but you had circles of friends, right? And so it's just the husband, and it's not just the best friend. It's the circle of friends. Too. Mm-hmm. Like, was everything just gone in one fell swoop? Like,
yes. And we were not from the town that we were in that this happened. We were, you know, transplants, and we hadn't been here long enough to really, I mean, you know, 3 or 4 years just doesn't feel like long enough. Where, you know, she and her husband were lifers. Well, now ex-husband were lifers. And there was just a lot of scrutiny, a lot of harshness on myself and my children. And, you know, the sporting events that you would look forward to going to now are just, oh, so isolating and dreadful. And praying the kids weren't treated differently, but both of them were. It was just terrible. It was because they had kids and their kids were the same age as our kids and the same gender. And so in the same classes and the,
oh my gosh,
a lot of finger pointing, a lot of assumptions. And while I used to say I just grew really thick skin, I think it was just the epitome of learning that what other people thought about me were none of my business, because what really mattered was what I thought about me. That's the only way I knew how to keep moving forward, because I knew I was a good person. I knew that I was going to come out of this. I knew my children were amazing. And yet, man, just a lot. I tried to get them to just like, you know what? We're just going to travel. I'm going to get a tutor. We're going to do our own lives. But, you know, too much change, just way too much change for everything. So
I'm glad you mentioned that, because my next question was going to be, did you ever just consider like packing all your bags and just going somewhere else and starting over and making a fresh start and, you know, without all of these reminders? I mean, whether your husband passes away or whether you get a divorce or whether it's this scandalous relationship that you're describing, you know, where it's two couples, you know, families are being torn apart. It can be very easy to just, again, like you said, add on more change and things. What, like, to have the self-awareness about that, like, and to have really the courage and the strength to stand up to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of people like you. I'm just going to say that. I mean, I've been doing this podcast for 4 years, and just knowing the nature of grief and the trauma that that had probably on you and your life and your kids, most people would have just ran the other way. What was it you think that?
My daughter, she's my oldest, and I put the house on the market. You know, I didn't, it was a big house. We lived on a lot of acres. We had a horse farm because my daughter used to love to ride horses, and it was going to be a lot to just take care of and maintenance and expensive, et cetera. And she just begged. She just said, can we just not change this? And I said, okay, we won't change the physical location, but we are changing the energy of the inside. And we just changed so many things. I repainted, got everybody new furniture, made rooms, different rooms, just to create a totally. So it wasn't like, oh, I remember sitting in here as a family, right? I just, It was like just giving ourselves a quote unquote facelift of just like, okay, if we can't move and create a new experience somewhere else, we're going to create a new one here for ourselves. And I'm like, or whatever color you want your room, whatever furniture you want, you know, like if you want bunk beds because you're done with this, let's just change it up. Let's change everything that we can and see what it feels like. Open G Center, all three of us. So that felt really good for us. And I would have escaped in a heartbeat. And yet I really needed to honor where they were. And when they came home and were wounded by something that was said, I presenced it for them. I just let them talk about it and shared with them kind of what I just shared. You know, it's not really any of our business. And I know they chose to share what they were feeling, but they don't know us. And you're the one that gets to look in the mirror every day and lay your head on your pillow every night. So just choose how you want to feel about yourself. And that little, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever bounces off me sticks to you. Like, hold that little childhood chant as best you can. And don't be afraid to tell others if someone has wronged you, because we're not here to take it all in and not get any support. I had them through you know, counseling if they needed it. I ended up with a life coach for my daughter. That's what really... Counseling just was hard, you know, and they just wanted to keep repeating what you'd been going through. And she's like, I don't want to feel this anymore. I want to look at where I am and look at where I'm going. And, you know, that's what coaching offers. And it was so pivotal for her. I mean, she and my ex-husband were like two peas in a pod. So that was hard. You know, she and I fought to be alpha female in the house. We both wanted to raise my son. And now we both celebrate that we both raised my son. But it was a big dynamic change in the house. It was a lot to adjust to. And while I did a lot of my own mourning and grieving after they were at bed at night, I just didn't really want them to know that I was going through that for some reason. Now they have both, they're 23 and 25, and have both said to me, God, Mom, why'd you make it look so easy? You know, and now I wish I wouldn't have, but yet I was doing the best I could with what I had new then. And now I'm honest and I share with them how dreadful it was, you know, how unbelievably hard. And I thought many mornings they would find me, you know, in my bed, gone, you know. And while I'm grateful for the ways that I have learned, I tell them all the time, you know, I raised you through a lot of my unresolved issues, unresolved traumas, unresolved grief, and I can help presence anything that you're feeling now. And there's nothing wrong with anything that you're feeling. And that feels really good to just be able to have. We are the closest tight-knit threesome. And it's fun because my daughter's married now and my son, it's inevitable. And just like building that and deepening that, it's so fun to be a part of, you know, but yet there's nothing that's off limits, that we talk about anything and everything. And I don't know that we would have, Victoria, if we would have stayed married. I think we would have lived in that paradigm that, okay, we're the adults and you're the kids. And I just let all of that go. Nope, we're all equals here. Everybody gets a voice. So thank goodness for that.
I had full body chills as you were sharing just about the, like, because what I heard, what so many grievers do is they put on this armor to be strong for everybody around them. And so what I hear you saying is that you wished you would have dropped that armor in mm-hmm. front of them mm-hmm. more.
And, you know, as I said, our body is our greatest messenger. Grief is trapped in our body for sure. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what was happening when my body was sending me louder and louder messages. And so finally I started listening. Before I just had the headphones on and the, like the little, what are those things called? The little blinders, you know, it's like, I got to move forward. Everything's forward. Everything's forward. Da, 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 da. You know, I've got to show them, you know, I'll take on all their pain so they don't have to feel it, you know? And that wasn't the answer either. But yet at the time it was the solution that felt most aligned until it didn't. And then once I started doing my own work, and sharing it with them, you can hear it in them. You know, my coaching, what was happening for me, I started embodying, and then there's that ripple effect. And my son just latched onto it. Like, and it, thank goodness. My daughter was a little more resistant. You know, she's got a little more energy in her design than I do. And she's like, I know more than you. And they both do, which is brilliant. You know, my kids are my greatest teachers by far. But we were all open to hearing each other and giving each other the space to share who we were, what we were feeling. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the messages my body kept giving me. Otherwise, I would have kept up the facade that I'd built so well for myself, very intentionally, because I didn't want anybody to think that, you know, there was anything wrong. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm always fine. I've had a friend tell me before, I never know if you're happy. I never know if you're sad. I never know if you're hurting, because you just show up and you listen in such a beautiful way. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I get to be unapologetically me. That's just the languaging that I knew when I left my corporate life. That's what I was choosing.
Which brings me to a question of, when do you feel like it's the manifestor type? And we'll get into the types maybe yet in this episode, or maybe not. If not, we're going to do a part two, friends. We'll do a part two, and it'll be all about human design, because I love that rabbit hole. But do you feel like, for a manifestor specifically, anyone listening who's a manifestor type, which you can find on, where can you find that out?
You know, my body graph is probably the easiest one. So, okay. And you need to know your birth time, hour and minute, your birth location, city and state, country, whatever that is. And then obviously your date of birth. Most people know that one without question, but that time and the location can be a little tricky. So those are just three important things. You plug them in and bada bing, bada boom, it spits it out for you.
So if you find out you are a manifestor, my question is, do you feel like it's a manifestor thing that we really don't allow ourselves to be held? We really don't allow ourselves. Like, is it a manifestor thing? Do you think?
So much. And we have, you know, what's referred to as a closed protective aura. So we're not easily read. We're very mysterious. So because we're not easily read, and I had built a facade for myself that no one could see, I was impenetrable, right? Like, unless I was sharing. And oftentimes now that I do understand that I am really, really meant to share my emotional experiences, it helps others. That unlocked such as like, wait, people want to know this? People want to hear what I've been through? I thought that's what I did for others. You know, it just, and I think, you know, our aura doesn't empower us to, like, we're like a little bit off the, you know, like, I'm not sure, a little standoffish. Is this safe? Do I want to be a part of this? You know, or, oh my goodness, is this going to be exhausting once I get in? You know, we don't have the same level of energy as, you know, 70% of our counterparts. So I think I'd always been juggling some of that, but just dismissing it, which is why my body got louder and louder. You know, a lot of adrenal fatigue, that's not uncommon at all with manifestors by any stretch. You know, not knowing when enough is enough. We do not have that sacral energy that our counterparts do. And so, and then you combine that with my open heart, which is, again, lots of human design lingo, but you put those two together and we don't know when enough is enough. And I sure didn't, you know, I was just like, nope, I have to do this. I have to, that's just the way that, and then I started softening. I was like, oh no, I don't. And I love my life so much differently than I did before. I love myself differently before, because if I would have loved myself, I wouldn't have had to build the facade, right? Because I wanted people to see me a certain way. And now I don't care what people see because I know who I am. And the right people I will be attracted to and will attract me to them.
Do you feel like there's a period of time where you were looking back at all of your friendships and relationships with people and just thinking how not fake, but not authentic, you know, because if you're not showing up, knowing who you are, knowing what you bring to the table, understanding what your desires and needs and wants are, you're showing up for whatever that person wants you to be. So there's no truth and honesty in that relationship.
Actually, I have put a lot of thought into this and a lot of my learning through design. So I have an undefined G center like you. And we are chameleons and we're meant to. I did have someone say to me once, God, you're so different with your corporate people. And then with, you know, your kiddos, you're so different. And then, you know, when you hang out with us group, you're so different. We're meant to, because we're trying those things on and then allowing ourselves to, is this kind of like, which, how do I want to mold and what do I want to do? So I'm grateful for the years I allowed myself to do that. I think it felt right in the moment. I think there were things that I was craving that I thought that I could get with some of the connections I was in. And once I started doing my own growth journey that really, you know, started in 2016, I was realizing the toxicity in some of the choices once I was learning more about myself. But until then, I really do feel like my connections were genuine, but I don't know if they were for my greater good. I think it was because, oh, they needed something from me and I felt good about giving that. And while I still get to do that in relationships I have, that's not what I'm most drawn to anymore, you know? And a lot of my growth led to letting go of people in my life. And thankfully, I'm designed that is relatively easy and comfortable for me. And I know it's not for the other, but it's not mine to carry. The longer I hold on to it, the more I'm resisting what's really meant for me. And that has become an easier and easier process for myself, especially learning my design, you know, and the connections that I crave and desire. But I didn't realize how much I loved my own alone time. And that's very, very common for manifestors too.
I very much do too.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the role of fear in all of that life experience as you were going through all of that? And can you speak to like fear in our human design just a little bit in your human design and just.
Yeah. So a lot of the fear is housed in the spleen, which is one of the 9 centers that builds the body graph of human design. I have a defined spleen, as do you. And so when we have something, and I'm using that word defined, it just means that we have consistent access to the energy that's in that center. And the spleen is very instinctual. It's very primal, right? The bear is coming. I must run. Okay. Let's face it, folks. We don't have a lot of bears chasing us anymore, but we still are wired to feel that fight or flight. And I think the only fear that I feel like I have connected to in my life, like last year, I was living in Florida and Hurricane Ian came and I had no fear for it whatsoever. And I was sitting in the eye for hours and everything around me was completely destroyed. I never even lost power. I lost connection with the outside world because we lost Wi-Fi, which was devastating for my 6-month pregnant daughter. And I wish I could take that back because she has an undefined spleen. So what that means for her, she doesn't have a consistent way to process that fear. And so it's like fear of not enoughness, fear of rejection, fear of repeating past mistakes. There's a lot of that that's housed in that center where I don't feel a lot of that. I think my fear way back before I started my own journey was, what will everyone else think? And now I couldn't care less. Or how am I going to screw up my kids? That's the heaviest fear in the world, is how can I make this easier for my children? Because they didn't ask for this. And, you know, I'm an adult and they're not emotionally mature enough to navigate this. Quite frankly, I wasn't even sure if I was, because as you heard me say early on, I just buried it down. I'm a 35-year recovering binge eater. They never knew I was doing that. Hell, my ex-husband never even knew that I was a binge eater, right? I know how to hide things. But what was I hiding from? Basically myself, you know? And so I am thankful. I'm also in my profile, I'm a 3 in human design. And so I am just like, hey, run out there and see how this works or not. And I have done that my whole life. And I don't have a lot of fear with it. Like when I moved to Florida, everybody was like, oh my God, you're leaving everything behind. I'm like, I know, isn't it great? They're like, you don't know anybody. I'm like, nope. Well, do you even know where you're going to live? Yes. I secured that online, like everybody else in the world who moved, you know, I have a lot of that energy about myself anyway. And I don't go into it with like, I think that contract with myself in July of 2018 has helped a lot in my journaling of flushing out any limiting beliefs that somebody might, you know, label as fear. And I just don't, like fear and excitement are born in the same place in our body. It's our mind that labels it as such. And so I choose excitement. That's what I choose.
I love that. One thing we talked about before we started recording was, because you have so much loss, this is where I'm like, where do we start? Right. And I had my losses starting very early on in my life. I was a young child. And so I feel like I've gotten the worst part kind of over with, hopefully. I mean, I pray that that's the case, right? But before we started recording, we were talking about how we both share that 35, 36 channel. It's that channel of emotional experiences. Mm-hmm. And I also have, what did you say? I had the incarnation.
Yeah, that, you know, you have 35 in your cross, so that it's definitely a part of, you know, and 35 is more of that element of like desiring change. And, you know, the 36 part of it is that crises, you know, energy. It's like something chaotic. There's emotional turbulence in your life. And so then that kind of pushes you to the throat center of like, okay, what can I change? The biggest part of that wave, that abstract wave, is what that 35, 36 is referred to. It's very emotionally volatile, is our expectations. And think about what we have in the world of expectations, right? Of others, of the world, of our own experiences, et cetera. And this piece of my design has been absolutely life-changing for me to connect with, because I didn't realize how much chaos I was creating my own life by having these expectations out there. I cannot have expectations of others or anything that is outside of my, I'm air quoting control, because I want control in the highest vibration. Control is a core wound for manifestors. We don't want to be controlled and we don't want to be controlling. And I've been on both sides of that fence for sure. And so when I learned this about myself, it's like, oh, I can drop the expectations. Like my partner would say something to me and I hung on to it like it was the law. We were doing this, right? Like, oh my gosh. And then when we didn't, because he'd forgotten he'd even said it, I'm like, I made it mean something about me. Like I wasn't worthy. I wasn't deserving, you know, and of course, or going back to that attachment. Well, I didn't need it anyway. Right? That avoidant attachment. I didn't want that anyway. And now I just have a lot more clarity. And when he does have all these ideas and suggestions, it's just like a little fluffy cloud and I let it float on by and I don't hang on to it like the law. It's more of like, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, type of energy. And then any expectations I have on myself, I really want to check in on those. Am I being hard on myself again? Am I trying to prove something? I have nothing to prove. I'm enough exactly as I am. I have enough. I know enough. I am enough. And that has been a critical part of my journey. And then sharing that with others, like, especially if I see someone like you, Victoria, who has this wave, it's like, what are we expecting? And who are we expecting it of? And how can we allow ourselves to release a lot of that? Because then it will really, you know, that wave won't hit the way that it could if we have these expectations. And then just noticing that we're meant to share those experiences as well. It really is a game changer for a lot of people. We're not meant to just harbor them ourselves at all. And that was something that I thought was unheard of. Why would anybody else want to hear my trials and tribulations? Well, because it invites others to share theirs too. And that's how we move through these things. We move grief and disappointment and disgust, all those things through us when we empower ourselves to talk about it.
And then you can weave in what kind of energy type you are. If you have the 35-36. Yeah. So if you are a manifesting generator or a generator, it's like, go do some exercises, go work out, like just do some high impact stuff, right? To get those emotions out. But as a manifester, is it the same? Like to do the same? Like what?
So it really depends on the mechanics of your design. I have a defined root and my root is connected to my spleen. And so that has me being someone who is really meant for movement. But any emotionality, find your practice. Some people, it might be meditation, just really quiet stillness, right? Some people, it might be really cathartic, like just like, especially as manifestors. I had my podcast co-host get me a Damn It doll. Have you heard of those?
No.
Oh my gosh. So it's this little doll that's all fluffy. And it's like, I can use it to hit things, right? Or throw things, or I can act as if I'm going to pull its legs off. And at first I was like, oh, that's so harsh, but it is so cathartic. Like I invite clients to like get their anger out on pillows and letting yourself move through it, throw axes, like just move through it. You'll be surprised, dance it out, shake it off, whatever that practice can be. There are some based on your mechanics of how you might do that, but anybody that is feeling something emotional, find a way to let yourself let it out. Holding it in is literally the worst thing you can do for yourself. But yet that's what I was taught, Victoria. Like, nope, suck that back in. Do not share that. And so then I stuffed it down.
And particularly as manifestors, anger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, don't show your anger.
And this is my son who I referenced, you know, is an emotional manifestor. That's something he said to me recently. Thank you, Mom, for letting me witness your anger. Because instead of like my daughter had a very sensitive head and that was, not the most patient person. Manifestors typically aren't. And doing her hair in the morning before school, before I had to go to work, you know, it's like all of these things. And then she, you know, it would hurt and I'd have to go slower. And more than one brushes were broken. Thankfully, I never used it on her, but I would throw them or smack them down on the counter to get my anger out. And it is important that we let ourselves do that. And my son, who has a lot of that anger, you know, certainly at his age too, like things aren't going your way. It's like letting yourself let it out. Fear of judgment or shame. There is no shame in those expressions. Let it out. It often has a great message, right? We're misaligned with something. Mm-hmm.
You know? For sure. And I think about too, like in that 35-36, what's been helpful for me is recognizing that when you were talking about expectations, like the grief that that causes us, the self-suffering that we put ourselves through by, you know, it's like you said, when someone says something, you take them at their word, right? And so we can find ourselves in these situations where, well, this is how it's always been. It's always been this way. We've always been this way. It's different now. You're different now. You know, how is it a self practice or is this something to communicate with the people in our lives? Like, does a human design help us find the language to communicate this?
Yes.
These things?
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 100%. And again, going back to what the activations are in your design helps you share and empowers you to share your truth. And I think it's, you said, is it this or is it that? And I wanted to say yes, yes, and both. You have to find your own practice. Wow. I just said have to. You get to find your own practice, right? It is important that you find a way to connect, that you feel that release. You and I, Victoria, we will feel peace with that release, right? We also will find peace with sharing it with others. It's important based on our mechanics. Our connection from where all those emotions are coming from go straight to the throat. They are meant to be expressed. But somebody else's mechanics in their design might look different. And so I can help invite them in the ways that they can allow and empower themselves to get through that too. But I do believe, especially in this instance for you and I, it's 100% both. I don't think people are meant to just keep things in. That's not safe. And I don't care if it is an expression of like, they do it in a journal, or they write a book, or they have an audio file that they add to daily. You know, I went in December of 22. So almost a year ago, I moved from doing a written, handwritten journal to an audio app that I speak into. It transcribes it if I want to see all the words, but then I also get to listen to the emotionality of what I was feeling and experiencing. It was a very turbulent time in my life. I was thrust out of Florida, where I was loving my life because my daughter was having a terrible pregnancy and I couldn't not be there with her. I knew I needed, but I didn't want to go to Michigan in the winter. Are you kidding me? You know, I didn't want anything to go north, right? And yet I did. And it was very challenging. I was, you know, holding her and her fear and her concerns and the status of her health and all of those things. And if I wouldn't have created that practice for myself to let it out, journaling just felt like writing it down. I felt like I was filtering it. I felt like I was like, what if she found this? What if she came over and found what I was? And in the audio file, it just felt safer, trapped in my phone. I don't know. You find the practice that empowers you to let it out. That's what I'm offering.
I love that. And I think that's a brilliant place to end this recording today. But first, I want to give you an opportunity. And you've shared so much, and I feel like I do feel like I've glossed over so much of your losses because it's a lot. And I feel like each one of these could have their own episode. I mean, really, truthfully, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to you and your grief and to my listeners. I really do. Like, I feel like I'm shortchanging your story here. I'm getting emotional and I don't know why. I mean, I know why, because I'm emotional, but it's just yet, so much. Yeah.
And yet you give me the space to share. And this is what I'm meant to do, right? This is what I'm meant to do. And I'm double barreled is what it's referred to. So both of my emotional waves go from my solar plexus to my throat, our emotional center to our communication center. And so one kind of softens the other. And so the way that I feel called to share it is empowering for me. And it's like part of my deconditioning process because you gave me the space to share it. And if I don't sound emotional about it, it's because I've done the work to let myself say, it's okay. I've been through it. I've navigated it. And now I am meant to share it so others can have their space and feel empowered and safe and almost given permission to do it for themselves as well. So I don't feel like it's been glossed over at all. Okay. I feel like you've given me the space to share. And if it helps someone else, oh, that feels so delicious to me.
To me as well. So thank you for sharing that. And I want to give you an opportunity to share how people can, the different ways people can work with you. And we've got, you know, the holidays are coming up. We're still in October yet, but the holidays are coming up. And you had shared briefly before we started recording, one of your offerings is a great Christmas gift. So please share how people can work with you and where can they find you.
So the best place to go, I'm not a big social media person. That's not uncommon, kind of in my manifestor world. But amyadouglas.com is my website. And that has, there's a page for all of my offerings. If you're curious about human design, the one that you're referencing, Victoria, is that little audio file. I do about a 25-minute mini reading. It is full of deliciousness. It's like the first glance of everything I see about your design. And it's so fun to share. I have a lot of moms that give it to their kiddos. Also, by the way, it's so great for the moms to hear about their kiddos because we think, how can they, you know, be mine? We're so different. Hello, we're all different and we all choose. And it's so beautiful to witness seeing a mom and a child understand each other without those, that hierarchical position, right? So you can see that. I also, you know, weave human design into a lot of the ways that I support others in coaching, and those offerings are on there as well. I have digital courses. So, you know, you can connect with me on what I think that's probably just the best place. I will happily offer your listenership 25% off of any reading. And I'll give you a coupon code if you want me to have the coupon code be the name of your podcast. Does that feel most supportive for you? So the Unleashed Heart will be the coupon code.
Or Grieving Voices.
Grieving Voices. Okay.
Yeah,
Grieving Voices. The Unleashed Heart is your website, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So the coupon code will be Grieving Voices, which would afford any of your listeners 25% off of my human design offerings. And I'm happy to connect. I even have like a little 30-minute call if you just want to chat about what might be best for you. You can, you know, sign up for something like that as well.
Thank you so much for your time today. And your strength and your courage have, I just adore you. I've gained so much. I mean, I respected you before, but just hearing all that you've gone through and experienced, I really, as a manifestor to a fellow manifestor, like, thank you. Thank you for sharing. We are small, but we are strong and mighty.
Yes.
In numbers. So the world needs you and the world needs all of us to understand ourselves better, because like you said, it's the ripple effects of that and the work that we do within ourselves that changes the world. So
yes, thank you for your beautifully time. Said. Yes. Thank you, Victoria. It's been my absolute pleasure to be with you today.
And stay tuned for the part two to come out. We'll get that scheduled soon because I really am excited to dive deep into all things human design. So yes. Until then, remember, when you unleash your heart, you unleash your life. Much love. From my heart to yours, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, please share it, because sharing is caring. And until next time, give and share compassion by being a heart with ears. And if you're hurting, know that what you're feeling is normal and natural. Much love, my friend.